Hey, what's up, guys? It's the Wahcast or something like that. It's Thanksgiving week, so we're not going to record on Thursday.
Are we crying? It sounded like that's like a crying.
Well, I don't even know.
Wah.
What's up? Hey, Mark Charter, you have to join the Directors Club because Paul Rhodes got fired. You have to up your ante with Iowa State.
You did say that you would.
I feel so torn right now, and you're right. I'm a man of my word, so I will do that. But I'm... The question is, when do I do it strategically? Because right now we're in basketball season, right? I have no chance at tickets if I want them. So I think I need to plan it so I at least have a shot to get basketball tickets. And hopefully they'll get freed up a little
You'll
bit
get basketball tickets next year.
Well, that's
think,
what I'm... That's
you think
what
people
I'm,
will drop off next year?
I hope not, but I bet some do. I mean, let's be honest. They're a preseason top 10 team this year. They're not going to be next year. So I hope people don't. But I would bet some do.
After we win the national championship.
There you go.
The line will get even bigger.
I'm a little bummed.
That type of talk is what I like to hear.
I'm a little bummed that Pollard did not email me the day he fired Rhodes, but he probably had a few other things on his mind than to come after me and say, hey, man, where's the check? But no, that's on the agenda. I said I would do it. He did it. I'll do it. But I just reasonably expect I'd get some basketball tickets with that donation. So I don't think that's too much to ask.
There you go.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
What's going through your minds right now?
Turkey.
Yeah, I am
Stuffing.
Too. I'm bummed though. Like the weather is supposed to be bad back home. I don't know if I'm going to get home.
Bondurant's home. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, but Bondurant doesn't have mom's mashed taters either.
Can't mom bring mashed potatoes over to Bondurant?
Not if it's sleeting and stuff.
Well, if she leaves now.
She's going to be doing in Southwest Iowa.
Sleeps in your basement tonight. What's the
problem?
Well,
I know, but she's got other stuff back home. They can't get up here.
I mean, you got a truck, right? You can get down there.
It's ice.
Oh, you're fine.
Don't you have those ice tires that they make?
Yeah.
I do have some badass tires on the truck.
Do you?
But it doesn't matter if it's ice.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some precious cargo back there nowadays.
You do.
You can't just be risking it like I used to.
You're not doing donuts in the parking lot anymore with Cammy in the back?
Wife has to be back for work on Friday. Mm. And so we can't. There's no way of getting out of it.
Well, if you can't get down there, you're more than welcome to come over to the Gray Thanksgiving.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Might have to do that. I may take you up on that. I'll bring beer.
You and Cheeser can sit and talk about how he is qualified to be the next head coach. He's already put his hat in the ring. I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Did he apply formally?
He really thinks he would have a nice spread offense that would put points on the board. Yeah, he sent me up quite a few texts about how
Cheeser's Adam's brother, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
It would be fun because I assume they like post the job on the Iowa State job board. We should do like an
application. Probably have to. you know what would have been a great job for Cheeser? Cheeser should have been the guy carrying the headset around. That would have been a fantastic job for him. He would have loved it.
He'd be good at it
too. I feel bad for that dude. That dude's out of a job as of today. I'm sure they'll reassign him, but headset guy is done being headset guy.
Yeah.
Because the next coach is not going to have the dude carrying the headset.
A lot of guys are out of a job, unfortunately.
Yeah. There's going to be a few.
I got to imagine. I think highly of the assistant coaches that are on staff right now. I think they'll all get jobs. I don't think it's.
I hope so. The assistants usually land. It's like the ops guys, and those are guys who usually get somewhere because of a relationship.
So, and this is where I'm torn, right? Because when Iowa State lost to Kansas State, how they lost. I mean, I think we can all agree it was a horrible loss. I mean, it's one of those games that you play it 1,000 times, you win it 999 times.
One of the worst losses ever.
I mean, coming from Iowa State fans, that's saying a lot. I mean, we've seen some of the most horrifying losses of all time.
This is a fan base where we wanted to create nut cups for to pass around to their buddies.
We would have needed steel nut cups for Saturday. I have never in my life been more pissed off at a game than that.
I read
take a knee.
ESPN tracks winning percentage as the game goes along. I think it was 1.4% for Kansas to win or Kansas State to win the game at that point.
How is it even that high?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's where it was according to their website.
Wow. When the play happened, when he didn't take a knee and they fumbled, I thought right then and there, Rhodes will be fired tomorrow. I mean, it was that big of a mistake, and he was. I sit here now. I'm a little bit torn on it. I'm a little bit sad. I get why he did it. I have no problems with them firing him. But I think he finally, and this is hard to say after 7 years, but I think he finally had a staff in place.
Me too.
That they could have won some games. But here's the problem, and this is what he ran into. They couldn't close out games. They coached the team phenomenal.
Their preparation was outstanding.
They were ready to play. Yeah. They played hard. Their game plans were good against Oklahoma State, Kansas State. But at the end of the day, you got to win a football game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to. But it's a bummer because, I look at Ianni. I look at – Agan, I look at, I mean, Blaney, what he was doing with the offensive line, and Paul Wolf must have done something because the run game's really opened up too. They could have, this team could have won 7-8 games with that coaching staff next year.
I agree.
But the question is, how many fans are going to show up at Jack Trey Stadium?
Yeah.
I still.
It was a business decision.
A lot of them would have shown up.
I don't blame them.
I remember, so several weeks back, we were talking about, and I was somewhat in favor of this, or we were talking about the approach. In favor of a quote-unquote midseason firing. And I remember, Gray, you were not. You said there's no point to that. It's stupid. It's whatever. Now Pollard did it, and he's being called smart.
Oh, I don't consider this a midseason firing. I don't believe that. In the season.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's a week before they did this, it. I don't consider this. This is not the same thing as firing a guy on October 1st.
Yeah, I mean, and they let him coach last game. I think this isn't going to hurt them when they're looking for another coach. They're not going to look at it and say they just canned this guy in the middle of the year. It's not going to be looked at as a negative.
What do you guys think of him being able to coach? Would that happen at a lot of other schools, or is that in Iowa State specifically?
I mean, if it's the last game of the year, yeah, I think it happened at other schools.
I think it would too. Yeah, I don't know why this has been made a big deal.
I don't either.
I don't. Everybody loves Rhodes. The players are playing their asses off for him. It's not like they're quitting out there. There's no animosity. The guys, I mean, people can say what they want, but when you look back at his track record, he's done things at Iowa State that nobody else has ever been able to do.
Yeah.
He pointed that out in his press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made sure to.
So, like, I have no – I think it's absolutely there. Before they even announced it, I mean, I was pushing for that on Twitter. I think it's the right thing to do.
Because I have nothing else to do, I always love to read between the lines. And this is – so Gray and I were talking before this, and this is just my opinion. I have no proof, no whatever, and Chris will probably say, dude, you don't know anything, and that's probably true. But I believe Rhodes got fired by Leith. Now, officially, he probably got fired by Pollard.
I think that there's probably some truth to that.
What really sunk that or made that, you know.
I know where you're going with this, and I agree.
It was the press conference.
Yeah.
It was no mention whatsoever. It was a specific mention of Joffre.
Yeah,
it was no mention of Leith. That made me think that things are not good between those two dudes.
Well, and I just go back to how I agree with you, by the way.
Hey,
I didn't look into that.
I go back to the basketball deal, though. I mean, we know how involved. I've never heard, and I'm sure it's happened at some point, but I've never heard of a president sitting in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Ever. And he did with the basketball ones, which was curious to me. So that, I mean, I'm just going by that. And then what Rhodes said, I mean, I did too, Mark. I don't know if that was the case, but yeah. And so did another media friend of mine. I don't want to out him.
Yeah.
But and that was what he said to me when we were walking out of there.
Yeah.
It specifically stood out to both of us as well.
From everything that I've understood about Leith, real quick here, Gray, is that and this is a good thing for Iowa State University, and this is people that I know that have worked directly with Leith. They describe him, and I'm paraphrasing here, but they describe him as almost like a kick-ass and ninja assassin when it comes to running the university, which is great. He's forming some great partnerships. He's doing a lot of good for Iowa State University. I think he looks at the football program strictly as business. No loyalty whatsoever to Rhodes, where Pollard, I believe, absolutely had some as a neighbor and a friend. And I can see Leith going in and saying, that's it. That was embarrassing. He's out. Fire him. And that end of discussion.
I don't know, but I bet Leith had his hands in it. That'd be my only guess. And I also, you know.
Did you get this? Just reading. I thought Rhodes was really respectful in the press conference, but you could tell he was pissed.
I agree.
He was not happy he was fired. And I think he was trying to point out, hey, when we did all these good things, and I was being offered jobs by Wisconsin and Pitt and Illinois.
Yeah.
I stayed. I was loyal. Now we've had some struggle times, and you're canning me. And he seemed pissed off about it, but he was respectful about it too.
I liked it.
Yeah, he's a competitive guy. I have no problem with him being pissed off about it.
I agree that he handled the press conference with class.
He did. Yeah.
But
I thought
there was an underlying current of when it's like, I'm going to name all the good stuff we've done. It's kind of like a little bit of screw you guys. I'm not as bad as you think that I am because of these things that I've done.
I don't think he's as bad as
maybe is setting himself up for the next job or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm. So the real idiot in all of this, of course, was Keep Sawing Wood.
Oh,
old
God.
Man Gino.
What a douche.
Like,
Can I say douche?
Yeah, you can say it, especially in this. You could say, what's his douche?
Mark,
douche,
yeah,
douche,
Mark
douche.
Mangina,
is that the move?
Douche.
Is that the move of a guy that has no interest in coaching anymore?
It's the move of I couldn't believe that, guys. Like, well, his kid's on the staff. Brandon Blaney's one of his best friends. He's on the staff. And the part that bothered me the most, I didn't care that he took a shot at Rhodes. It's like, those guys are both millionaires, whatever. But the kids, like, they played their asses off for him, and they worked hard. And it's he's mocking these kids that he was going to war with earlier in the year.
Yeah.
If he did one tweet and he went by, it'd be classless. But he was constantly retweeting people.
Doubling down.
I mean, quadrupling down. He wouldn't stop.
And he was mocking. The part that bothered me was like mocking people for their professions. Did you see that one guy? He like made fun of the company he worked for. And then he's like making fun of one guy because he only had 40 followers. How old are we?
Yeah, I mean, let's face facts. The guy's a fat blob. He's unemployed.
Oh, jeez.
Well, come after me. I'm a real estate agent. I don't give a crap. My point is this. The guy probably is somewhat of a depressed dude. You don't do stuff like that if you're happy with where you are in life and all of that stuff. I mean, it was the epitome of sour grapes. But it's still, from a fan perspective, I loved it because it's humorous. It gives you something to talk about. I mean, it was stupid that he did it.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have done it, but it's entertaining as hell that he did it because it just gets people talking.
And let's be honest, the offense has looked a lot better since he's been gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's close. Now, still the same struggles as far as scoring in the second half. But this is the thing that bothers me about people are going to look at the last memory of Rhodes is that absolutely boneheaded decision not to kneel the ball.
Correct.
And let's be honest, it was a horrible, horrible decision. But he's a better coach than that. I'm not saying he's a great coach, but if let's look at Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. If Paul Rhodes was at Texas A&M, I think he'd be doing just as good as Kevin Sumlin. I think Paul Rhodes is an average coach. I think he's in a tough situation.
I would agree with you.
That's how I look at it. Who made a really, really, really dumb mistake.
Yeah. No, the second half thing, you know, like going back to Oklahoma State and, you know, giving up a lead against TCU and maybe even Iowa. I think Iowa a little bit less, but
you're tied with 3 minutes to go in that game, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't kill Rhodes for like losing a lead in the second half against Oklahoma State, just in the sense that Oklahoma State's just that much better. Like, I mean, they've got better talent. I know you think that Iowa State's got like top five talent in the Big 12.
Oh yeah, because I've said that before.
But like, I'm not gonna kill. I don't think that I don't think that was this giant.
This team is talented enough to win 7 games this year. They were talented enough with better coaching and better adjustments to win 7 games this year.
Rhodes needs to rethink his chart, the chart that told him to do that. I think Rhodes from his 7 years, my takeaway is, and again, you guys can blast me, I don't care, fantastic motivator.
Yes.
Poor in-game strategist. That's just my takeaway.
I think, too, we all know he made the wrong decision when he hired Messingham.
That killed him.
And I think Wally has done – and a lot of people will scoff at this, but I think Wally's done about as good as he could do with what he had at his disposal. I go back to what Adam said at the beginning. Like, this staff, I feel like, was finally to the point where it could go out and actually win 7 games, not just say, oh, they had the potential, where they could actually do it, and they're not going to have the opportunity.
Not only go out and win games, this staff was finally recruiting.
Yes.
Because the staffs before recruited awful. And that's where you see right now the juniors and seniors on the team. The ones that are good are junior college players that this staff went and got.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at like a DeMond Tucker, a Jahasin Thomas. Those are guys that this staff went out and got. Mike Warren. I don't know. That's what I'm bummed about because I felt like he finally realized who he needed on his staff to win.
Of players they needed.
And they're not going to be able to see it through.
The switch to the 3-4?
Yep. And I don't blame them for letting him go. But it is kind of a bummer because I feel like next year I say that and they should have won 7
this
year.
That's what bothers me about
whatever.
That's what bothers me about this whole deal though, because if they go out and pay a guy like $1.9 million or something, I'm going to be pissed. Better open up the checkbook and get somebody in here who can win.
Everything that's leading up to this suggests that they will. We were talking. I think the next coach probably makes at least $3 million. But Chris, here's two specific questions for you. And not a name. I'm not asking about a name. But in your opinion, two things. One, who is the next coach? I mean, what type of coach is it? Is it a fantastic recruiter, a guy that has a winning record somewhere else that just has shown the ability to do some type of a different offense? Who is that? And then secondly, I know you've mentioned this, maybe others, but there seems to be this this call to get some of the you know, Swenson at Valley or Dalian's head coach associate with the staff. Why is that deemed so important? At least by you or other people that have said that. Well, so those two questions: who is our next coach?
My thing is I'm just going by Jamie's track record.
Yeah,
and I mean, to what we have to look to is Steve Prohm, right? You hire this guy with some experience, really wholesome values that match what Pollard traditionally wants. My guess would be you're looking at somebody like that who would be, and I'm not endorsing, but he's a guy who fits that profile is an Air Force Troy Calhoun.
It's not a Scott Frost conceivably.
No, it's not. I mean, I like that name, but I don't think that will be the guy. Yeah. I think it would be Iowa State's version of Jerry Kill. Would be the best way I could put it. You know, the Kerry guy at Northern Illinois. I mean, it's people like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My whole deal with the reason I threw out Wilson and Swenson is, I mean, I just think that I like what Kirk Ferentz did when he hired Reese Morgan of like 15 years ago or whatever.
From Iowa City West?
I just feel like, enough trying to – and you got to recruit Florida and you got to recruit Texas. Like, I'm not saying to ignore those states. Those still have to be your focus. But, I mean, if they go the direction which I think they will, which is not going to be this wide-open spread style of offense, like, there are, like, good linemen. There are good Midwestern style of guys who I think you can win with in here. And those guys are the most respected high school coaches in our state.
Yep.
I think if you throw some money at either – one, they're good coaches.
Yeah.
Two – I mean, tell me a guy who could recruit the state of Iowa better than name one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they can get into any high school in the state. So, and listen, I don't want to oversell it because Iowa usually has like 5 to 10 Division I prospects every year. It's not a huge deal, but I do think if they switch to the style of ball, which we saw Rhodes kind of starting to do, and I think that they're going to, from what I understand, Jamie Pollard fully realizes it, that he cannot, you can't out Baylor.
It's an arms race and we're losing.
Yeah, I think that Jamie has finally realized that, so I think they're going to go a different direction.
Yeah.
Because of that, I think that those guys would be able to help me get some of those type of players. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So, and again, I think on Pollard's track record, I think we're going to have a coach pretty soon. I don't think this is going to be drawn out a long period of time. The tough question is, a lot of these good coaches have teams to coach.
Yeah.
Bowl games to go win. So how do you – I mean, that's what makes me think maybe it could drag out a little bit.
No.
But you do see coaches leaving other schools.
My guess
before
would be
their
like
bowl games.
The first week of December, I bet they have a coach.
And let's be honest. Hey, I'm going to pay you $2 million. You're making $400,000 right now, but you can't coach your bowl game.
Right. You're going to make that sacrifice. Yeah, you do see it all the time.
Yep.
It's unfortunate, but it's part of the business.
I'm one of the guys. I look at what you need to find in a coach. I don't want an assistant. We've gone the assistant round. I want a guy who's been the head coach. He knows what it's like to win as the guy, and he's got a track record of not just doing it. No offense. I know you love Tom Herman. I know he's the hot name out there. I'm sorry. Tom Herman's been head coach for 1 year.
Yeah.
And he's never coming here anyway, so he's not even worth discussing.
No, I'm just saying.
I know, but you'd be shocked at how many people are still tweeting at me about Tom Herman.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If I was USC, I would not look at Tom Herman. I'm sorry, I just wouldn't. I want a guy who's got a proven track record, and I would rather go after a guy who's been a lower level, had success, sustained success, than a guy who is winning with someone else's players. I mean, let's be honest. We saw Paul Rhodes do it. He comes in here. He's got rah-rah. Everyone, you know, buys into what he's doing.
Yeah.
He goes and he wins 7 games a year. Okay, but sustaining success was tough for him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what Tom Herman's going to do at Houston. So I want a guy – I don't care if he go D2. I'll be honest. I don't care. I want a guy who has started a program and for 5, 6, 7 years has won.
What about my guy Bob Stitt?
Yeah, I mean, he struggled this year. Obviously at Montana. Yeah,
they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they struggled.
Yeah, it was his first year.
Like, yeah, but he has a track record of doing it. Be perfectly fine.
What about like a North Dakota coach? I know he hasn't been there that long. Yeah, yeah, North Dakota State. What about
– this is my only fear with him, and it's not even fair to this guy, but he didn't start that program.
Yeah.
He was kind of the Chris Patterson to Dan Hawkins. I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah. You could say the same thing about Steve Prohm.
Yeah. He was a Steve Prohm to Billy Kennedy.
Yeah.
I mean so that's my only concern there. I have no opinion on the guy whatsoever.
But you're not opposed whatsoever to going down a level to get a proven head coach.
I mean, Brian Kelly, Central Michigan took a chance on him. And
from Grand Valley State.
And you saw that guy work his way up the ladder to Cincinnati and then to Notre Dame. I mean, it absolutely has worked. The Georgia Southern guy is intriguing.
He is. I would be perfectly fine with him. The guy who's at Buffalo now?
Yeah, Leopold.
Yeah, he was at Wisconsin Whitewater and won 6 titles in 8 years.
Yep. And
sorry,
I have
the guy knows how to win.
I have heard his name.
He knows how to win. Bring him in.
That's what I care more about anything is just a winner.
Yeah, because
and define that any way you want to, but it's get a proven winner.
And most head coaches in college football, they're not the ones that are doing the everyday recruiting. I mean, they kind of go in, they finish, and they have a couple guys they recruit, but you need a whole team to recruit in football. It's a little different basketball when you might sign 3 guys in a year.
Yeah.
You're signing 25 guys in a year, so go out and hire a good recruiter, someone that you think is charismatic. I don't need my head coach to be a recruiter. Yeah. I need him to be X's and O's and win football games.
What's interesting, too, is I'm talking about we're going to pay the next head coach $3 million, but if we go down and get a coach like we're talking about right now, we're probably not because you don't have to pay those guys $3 million.
No.
So we're only paying a name $3 million.
God, that's freaking the way Pollard's going to go.
Of course he is because
he's a financial guy.
And if you're paying someone $3 million, it's going to be a pretty big name, right? I mean, let's be honest, it's going to be a big name.
The only candidate I see here that would require that kind of money, and it probably wouldn't be that much, would be like that Navy coach because he's going to be pretty highly sought after.
Yeah. I don't know how highly sought after he would be.
I think
isn't he a decent fit Iowa State?
Yeah,
Mormon family guy, the whole deal.
I've seen him, not
the Mormon part, but you know,
I've seen him
clean living.
Put with some different, fairly high level, like Missouri,
Maryland. Have you heard his name, Maryland?
Yeah, and I even saw him get tossed around with South Carolina. Even though I think might end up there.
He wouldn't be a good fit at Iowa State early on, in my opinion, because you look at Iowa State. How many running backs do they have for next year's team? And for that triple option, you got to have like 6-7 running backs, don't you?
Here's a good question too. He's loyal, I get this, but just for argument's sake, so say they bring in a Navy coach, and suddenly next year we're doing triple option.
Yeah.
Somebody like Lazard, do they get the hell out of here?
Calvin Johnson played for Paul Johnson, though.
Demaryius Thomas.
I know. There's some examples of that, but your looks, it actually
opens them up more based on that.
Unless you're an idiot coach, I mean, you're not just gonna just put Alan Lazard on the bench.
No. Plus,
he might be a tight end in the NFL anyways.
Good.
I mean.
What is he, 6'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just depends on how big he is.
You know what? He's sneaky fast anymore.
Yeah.
That kickoff return for him, he was moving on that.
Yeah.
I personally don't care what offensive style we go get. It doesn't matter. You can run the triple option. You can run the spread. You can run the power formation. It's all irrelevant. All that matters is that you have a system in place, your attention to detail, because let's be honest, we went and got Klinakis and, we're going to run the pistol and we're going to do all this. It's going to be great. We got Herman and, we're going fast-paced offense. No one's going to be able to stop us. It doesn't matter.
You got to have players.
Players, and then you got to be able to coach them well enough. I mean, let's be honest. Bill Snyder, he's ran about 3 different styles of offenses since Kansas State. He wins it doesn't matter what he does. They win because he's just a really good coach.
Yeah.
I just want a guy who's a good coach.
I really do like the Bob Stitt idea. I mean, you want to go outside the box. And
yeah, isn't Bob Stitt very similar to like a Briles?
Yeah.
And you just said that he's not going to go to the Briles.
I don't think he will. I don't think Pollard will, but I think it would be – Bob Stitt's a genius.
I know I've had conversations with people that would love Bob Stitt.
I think it'd be fun. Like, I think it would make Iowa State football very fun. However,
the only thing fun is winning.
I know. I think he could win.
Do you think Iowa style football is fun to watch?
If they're winning.
Exactly. I mean, they're loving it. People bitched about it for years, but all of a sudden now people love it.
It's not fun to watch, to answer your question, but it gets the job done.
I'll go back to this, though. I mean, I know I love Bob Stitt more just because I love Bob Stitt than I do think he's a great fit at Iowa State. But what you see, I mean, just traditionally around college football is like what's deemed the crappiest job in the league. Which is Iowa State. I mean, in the eyes of a coach, I mean,
I would say Kansas.
Kansas has a better recruiting base, though, with all those Kansas
JUCOs.
Their
stadium's garbage.
Their stadium's garbage.
It's not my opinion. I'm just telling you what people think nationally, and it's a fact.
I don't agree with you anymore.
A lot of those schools are the ones that go to that option stuff. I mean, a lot of them are. So, I mean, I don't know if Pollard's going to go that route or not, but it makes me think that I had a conversation with somebody very smart on Sunday who told me that he really doubted the next guy would be that style of football.
Well,
that because, the spread style.
Well, here's the problem with it, though. Pollard said in his press conference that this team has got more talent in it than any time in the 10 years he's been here, right?
Which he shouldn't have made that statement.
He shouldn't have, but he did. And so now, but they've recruited that as far as a spread offense.
Yeah.
We have a lot of wide receivers on the team. You go, you run the triple option. I mean, how we got
I don't Tom, think, yeah. But, I don't think it'll be a – full disclosure, I think it's going to be more your Stanford, Kansas State, that type of – I think Willie Fritz could run that style of system.
Willie Fritz runs from the shotgun. Yeah. But he runs the ball all the time. Yeah. Iowa State is built or can be that team.
Dude, they got to get some freaking linemen.
We don't have a fullback. We don't really have any tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, But Levi Peters at fullback. Some bitch can play.
But I love Levi.
So here's an interesting question. Okay, the football staff is gone. They're fired. So now you're left with ostensibly two guys that are making the decision for the future of Iowa State football, Leith and Pollard, right? Mm-hmm. Pollard, did the guy ever play football in his life?
No.
He's a runner. Probably didn't. Who knows about Leith? But my point is this. These guys have to go out and hire the right choice. But in order to do that, don't they have to have a vision for what they want Iowa State football to be? So are these two dudes sitting around going like, I think we should probably go triple op?
I hope.
What do they know is my point.
They need to be reaching out to people.
I would hope that they're on the phone with Seneca Wallace, Sage Rosenfels, like guys who really are passionate about the program and just talking to them. You know what I mean? You're not letting them make the decision. You're calling Ben Bruns. You're calling this really smart football. I know that Gary Thompson has had an impact on who
basketball.
They've hired in basketball in the past.
Yeah.
My guess is – and then, they're using a search committee, too. So, that has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah.
So, I hope they're reaching out.
What do these search committees do?
Well, the biggest
besides
thing.
Besides take your money.
A lot of it.
Well, first of all, it's an I scratch your back, you scratch mine type deal. I mean, because Leith was hired by the same search committee. So, it's no it's no fluke to me that they've used it twice since he's been there.
Yeah.
Because that's just how these things work. Two, the biggest thing that they do. It's the organization of, like, interviews and stuff like that. For instance, the basketball one was held in Atlanta. I think they interviewed, four or five guys, whatever it was.
They're paying the search firm, like, $100K probably, right? Or, I mean, something
I think
stupid.
It was, like, yeah, something like that, $60K to $100K okay. for basketball.
I'll tell you what, guys. You pay me $10,000, I will book a hotel somewhere in Atlanta for you to – I mean, search firms to me are the dumbest thing.
I'm telling you, it's a scratch-your-back type deal.
They're logistics. They're not, like, identifying your next best coach. Here's your next best coach, and here's why.
Don't you have a secretary in your office that can do the logistics aspect of that?
Apparently not. Not well enough.
I mean, geez.
Yeah.
People spend money on the stupidest stuff.
I'm telling you, I would guess that Leith has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Because Pollard never did it before, did he? Did he use a search?
Well, I didn't think so. And somebody pointed out to me that he did for Chizik, which was way back in the day.
Okay.
He didn't need to for Hoiberg.
No. And he did for McDermott, I don't think, did he?
No. He didn't for Greg. And then I know he didn't. I guess those would have been the only ones.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy when you're not really going outside your state, though, to find coaching talent. You don't really need a firm for that.
So Charter said something to me. We were texting when Rhodes got fired, and I was telling him how bummed I was, and I was sad. And I felt very similar.
Dude, my wife was crying.
Was she?
When I got home on Saturday night, she was just so – and then –
Sunday night, you mean?
Sunday night, yeah. And then she was like on – when she watched his press conference on Monday, like, but so much my wife loved him.
Yeah. He's a great guy. It reminded me of when Iowa State – let go of Dan McCartney.
I cried at that game, his final game. I totally teared up when he walked out the last time.
I probably will on Saturday because was the time
Rhodes.
Right? Yes. Did they probably need to? Yes. But, man, it still sucks. I don't care who says it sucks. And you said, well, don't think it sucks, Greg. Be excited. I will be. Give me a week, though.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
In about a week, I'll be excited.
It's like
right
you're mourning a friend right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
The end of something is usually the start
Here's
of
the problem. This
new.
Is the problem for me, and this is why I'm just so, like, anxious to see who they hire. Because I truly believe, and people can call me an idiot all they want, I truly believe Rhodes would take that team to 6 or 7 wins next year. I truly believe that.
You know, I agree with you, Chris, but he should have this year.
Oh, I know. I'm not denying that, but I think that they were – you could see how this thing was trending.
It was trending upward, but God, Neil, the freaking ball.
I know.
I did not see the question that led to this, but I wanted to ask you another question about what he said in his press conference. He started talking about how Iowa State gets killed in the Big 12 because of the way the Big 12 set up.
Yeah.
What led to him saying that?
Well,
they asked him what Iowa State needed to do to get over the hump, and he put out a couple different things, one of which being either he says what I've been saying on the podcast for months now. Iowa State schedule, they got to start scheduling easier. So it either needs to be where there's 12 teams in the Big 12 where they play 8 of them.
Yeah.
Or we need to kick Iowa to the curb.
Well, Rhodes didn't say that, but you've been saying that.
Wait, but he did say that we need eight conference games. He did say that.
Yes. No, he said they needed divisions. They're never going back to 8 conference games. That's never going to happen.
Well,
he said divisions.
He said that they need divisions. Okay. So that way you're missing out on Baylor every once in a while.
Here's what Iowa State needs to do. If Jamie Pollard and Leith are serious about winning football games at Iowa State, you think they need to spend $3 million on a coach? They can probably get a really good coach for $1.5 million. Take the $1.5 million difference. Get out of your contracts with some of these teams you got coming up and go Kansas State, Baylor, Oklahoma State's non-conference schedule.
They're kind of doing that, Adam, and you'll
get better.
They're kind of doing that. I mean, they bought out of their road trip to San Jose State in a couple years. Like, they're already working on that.
They need to continue to do that because
the Iowa game's not going anywhere. So you're barking up the wrong tree because that's not going
to
happen.
Okay, well, then they can sit there and continue to question why things are not going as well as they could for football. Because Baylor, they can let their guys get healthy in the non-conference. If a guy's banged up one game...
You do realize, though, Baylor is scheduling SEC schools and Pac-12 schools, and they're non-con in the future.
Yeah, because now they've reached the plateau.
I'm just saying.
You've got to get there first. If Iowa State's all of a sudden 11-1 in 5 years, sure, go look for those teams.
I'm just saying, and it bothers me when people kill Baylor right now, because it's like their non-con was booked, like, 8-9 years ago.
When they were shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for my language, but let's just be honest. They were dog crap, like Iowa State, like Kansas State with Bill Snyder. Let your players – I mean, if Iowa State – let's say DeMond Tucker sprains his ankle the first week of the year. Send him out the second week because we're playing San Jose State at home. But instead, we're playing Iowa. You can't send him out. You need that guy to play. He might not ever get healthy, and Iowa State can't have that. You need to schedule – patty cake, patty cake, patty cake. And who cares? Because it's not like basketball where RPI matters to get the NCAA tournament. It doesn't matter in football. Just win football games, go to a bowl game. And if Iowa State ever gets to a point where they're going to be in a top four, then you can start looking at it. That's like Baylor is right now. But until then, if Iowa State is serious about winning, they need to have an easier schedule.
A lot needs to change, but they got to control what they can control.
Which is a schedule.
You know, and they can't control the Big 12 expanding, as an example. But they can control, who they schedule.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. The fact that the Big 12 is the way it is stupid. Power 5 conference without a championship game, it makes no sense whatsoever.
I disagree with that.
You think it makes sense to do it?
Well, the way it's set up, they can't have one, Mark. I mean, it's...
No, I understand that. But by adding 2 teams, you can.
Correct.
It can't be that tough to add teams. All the other conferences are doing it.
Does that mean it's better, though?
I think so. It's more definitive.
It's more definitive when Iowa doesn't play Michigan, Michigan State, or Ohio State, or Penn State. It's more definitive.
The reason I would say yes is because they are going to play the best team from that side every single year in the championship game if they're the best, this year.
I still don't think it makes it definitive, though. I mean, I would love to see 10 conferences of 10 teams.
Well, I mean, clearly conference alignment hasn't ended. It will continue to evolve.
I think that's how it will eventually end up because, I mean, you're seeing it like with these watered-down schedules and these watered-down conferences, and nobody wants to go to the games. And I think eventually, I bet in 10 years, that's how it's going
to
look.
Too many people, I think, look at the Big 12 compared to the other conferences as a joke because of the way that it's set up. And ultimately, that doesn't help in Iowa State. And Rhodes is right. If they go to the division format,
I agree it's best for Iowa State. Yeah. You just watch, though. Here's my prediction. Conference tournament or the conference championship games are coming up. There's going to be an upset somewhere. If it's Clemson to North Carolina, if it's whatever, maybe Florida shocks Alabama or whatever.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get upset and knocked out of the playoff, and then everybody's going to bitch, and they're going to be like, well, maybe we should do it like the Big 12. At some point, that's what's going to happen. The reason this summer was so much like it was, I mean, it was like a worst-case scenario for the Big 12, how it played out.
Yeah.
Like, there are going to be upsets at some point in these things. And my prediction is the Big 12 will have 10 teams or what, they're going to have a championship game next year anyways. I mean, they physically cannot have one right now. I don't think it's not even like a choice. It's the NCAA bylaws.
By the way, I want to. I don't want to skip over this because I never know how long we're running. But
we are at 34 minutes.
We do need an SEC recap from you because you were down and you picked a bad weekend to go. Obviously,
I did pick a bad weekend
to work on your whole trip home. But I need a recap of what it's like in SEC land.
Some people would say that the Rhodes firing was actually the good news that happens when you're gone.
Yeah,
some people would argue that.
Yeah.
It Dude, by the way, working in the back of a van for 10 hours on the way, I was so nauseous because I'm just staring at that screen and bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Everything.
Okay. Okay, now.
How does it differ from Iowa State?
Okay. First of all, the first thing I notice, and Gray will get annoyed with this, but Mark, you'll really appreciate it.
Okay.
Not one jock jam.
Nice.
Like, for instance, when Ole Miss...
When
Ole Miss, like, anytime one of their defenders lays a big hit on some dude...
Yeah.
The song, ring, ding, dong, ring the ding, 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 dong, and everybody just goes nuts. If you get a stand on second down and you got a big third down coming up, it's like, bam, we're dropping Lil Jon.
Yeah.
Like, it is so hip.
Yeah.
Down there.
Hey, I am fully up for the third down thing if it helps us get stops and third downs.
I think it will you should see the players respond to it. I mean, the guys I was with, we were watching it.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, you need to care less about your donors and more about your players.
Yeah.
And that's what those guys want.
Yeah.
It was very hip.
So they didn't play any Neil Diamond.
Hell no. The in-game atmosphere was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, not even comparable to Jack Trice. However, Jack Trice Stadium is a much better stadium than Ole Miss's, and it's really not even close.
Better looking.
Better looking, better facilities, better...
Tailgating?
Now, the tailgating is take whatever you guys know and throw it on crack and ecstasy. And then take a shot of vodka.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing down there.
I saw how you were dressed for the game.
To be fair,
you fit right in.
You don't tailgate at Iowa State, to be fair.
Well, I've tailgated at Iowa State.
No, he's tailgated.
When?
Through college.
Yeah.
A couple years in college.
Great, jeez.
I did it for a couple years in college.
Okay.
So
my freshman and sophomore year at college, I did.
So I'm going
to... But you weren't old enough to drink, so you didn't drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the question that everybody, all of our male listeners want to know about. Let's talk about the talent a little bit.
Okay, here's my analysis on the Mississippi. Well, Treadwell's a stud.
You're talking about football player.
That's
talent,
not the
right?
type of talent
Treadwell,
that I'm talking about.
I want Treadwell in purple, baby. Oh man, he'd be perfect. Teddy to Treadwell. Woo.
So let's talk about the real talent, though.
The women are beautiful. My mom's from the South.
How do they dress for the game?
This is where I was gonna go. So my mom's from the South, so I just have like an innate love for Southern women.
Yep.
And like if you're a girl and you come up to me and you have an accent, I automatically think you're more attractive than you probably are. That's just how it goes. So like for me, it's like heaven.
A five now, becomes an eight.
They're beautiful, beautiful women down there.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this. We have beautiful women in Iowa too.
Sure.
Here's the difference. They actually care down there.
They're trying.
Every woman down there is wearing a dress.
Yep.
They have makeup on.
Yep.
They clearly did their hair.
Yep.
They're not just throwing on sweats.
Yep.
Iowa women can be just as beautiful, but they don't care as much.
But they go to the game and they're wearing probably a t-shirt and they're wearing yoga pants, which, hey, those are okay.
The women go to the game there for the it's a big deal. Everybody dresses
It's a society event that they're going to.
Well, even the low society people. I mean, so this is how crazy it is, though. So in the Grove, what happens is at like 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, like the whole Grove is open. There's no, you're a donor, so you get
spot. Yeah.
There are actual companies, because we asked about this, that go and place your tent for you in the Grove. Like there's hundreds and hundreds of spots, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of reserve it. And these, they will go, you pay them, and they are there, and they run and put the tent up for you. There are catering services, Mark. There's a specific tent where you call ahead and order your food.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, 11 o'clock, come and pick it up. And that's right outside of their student union.
That sounds nice.
It is the tailgating there, I'm not going to say it's better because it's everybody has.
But it's not a parking lot.
No, it's like it'd be like Central Campus at Iowa State.
When we tailgate, obviously most people are doing it in a parking lot. So you have a limited space and you know you're dodging cars and whatever.
No, this is like if you were to go Central Campus. Okay. Like over by the Campanile.
How far away was this from the stadium?
I don't know, a 5-minute walk.
Okay, so not too bad.
No, and it's and then they've got like their student union. That's it's just the beautiful campus.
Did you eat any unique food at this tailgate? Any alligator? Anything fun?
No, I had the best fried chicken of my life.
Really?
Yeah. After the game on Saturday. No, like listen, I'm not a big. I don't want to come on here and insult everybody because everybody thinks their tailgate's the best.
Yeah.
But it is cool that. It's different because of the dress-up thing. I mean, that's legit. Like, I didn't know. Like, I figured maybe I would get there and it would just be like the tourists are doing it and stuff. Hell no. Everybody's doing it. And another crazy part of the trip was we met like 5 different groups of guys who were doing the exact same thing we were. So it really is kind of like a destination place.
Here's a question for you because you say it's a South thing, and we have Southern teams in the Big 12, Oklahoma, Texas, all of that. So when you go to those games, do you see anybody dressed up like that, or is it just an SEC thing?
Well, okay, so to me there's a difference between Mississippi South and Texas South.
Yeah.
I mean, the people are just different.
Yeah.
I think it's primarily, from what I understand, it's primarily like an Ole Miss thing. I think Alabama does some of it. I don't think Florida does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll also say this. My least favorite fan base I've ever encountered is LSU. Oh, my God.
Not good.
Worse than Kentucky basketball?
Yeah.
No.
They have Ashley Judd.
These LSU fans, they're – one, they're mean. Like, they are. Like, they're mean people. Yeah. But they're dorks. Like I didn't meet a, I didn't see a cool LSU fan the whole time.
Yeah, and Ole Miss you liked.
My buddy Shaner, you know Shaner.
Yeah,
he's a huge Alabama fan. I mean, he was born and raised. Even when they sucked, like his dog was named Bama. He's my next door neighbor. I mean, this guy's legit. And he's always bad mouthed LSU to me. And like I totally get it now. Like it's the worst fan base I've ever encountered.
Can we start a movement to get people to dress up a little better for the games?
I think
here?
It'd be fantastic. And like I say, Iowa's got beautiful women, but our women, like, I'm going to throw on a hoodie and jeans. These women are wearing sundresses and they're plumping their breasts up while they've got full makeup on. Like it's a big event to go to the game.
So basically, Chris Williams was in a candy store down there.
Oh, they are.
Everywhere you looked, you were constantly turning around saying, Daddy like.
Oh, yeah. The bar scene really is pretty blah, honestly.
It's game day. That's what you need to go do.
Like, yeah, because their campus town's no better than Iowa State's.
Wow.
In fact, Oxford as a whole is a very small town.
Gray's never going to be able to go because you basically just described it like the Playboy Mansion. So Gray's probably out.
I didn't do that.
I just went to Vegas, didn't I? Because Vegas is very tame.
You were given an F-.
I think you were there.
Yeah, I was given an F-, because I didn't go hang out with him in his hotel room the whole time he was up there.
So one other thing from the trip.
Yeah.
So we rented a house, you know. And so it was a little farther off than we thought it was. But it was fantastic. We had this, like, this Mississippi country home. Like, in the back was, like, the woods.
Nice.
I was on like a dirt road.
Nice.
And so we wanted to take a cab though, so we didn't drink and drive, obviously. And we got the first cab we got a hold of, this guy picks us up in a limo. That was his cab service. And then we tipped him really well and he drove us around all week.
No Uber down there?
Yeah, well they have it, but there's never any cars available.
It's not the cool one to use.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a good time.
It was fun.
I'm jealous of that SEC experience.
I would honestly, like, we're gonna go on trips every year, but I'd like to go back, frankly.
Adam and I will not be invited to that one either, but you know, whatever. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
It's a small minor detail.
All right, do we need to do our picks?
We need to. Let me do a quick recap.
So let's skip the recap this week.
No, Charter, you did better. You did better. Last week you went 0-5. This week you went 1-3-1.
Yeah.
So, wow, jeez. So, you know, you're doing better. C-Dub 3-2. It's a winning record. I went 4-1. So to recap my last
Gray's on fire.
3 weeks, I'm 11-4.
That means you're due to go 0-5 this week.
No big deal. I probably won't. Probably won't do that. So I am 34-26.
That's a good record.
C-Dub is 30-28-2.
What place are you in the expert picks?
Yep. I'm in dead last.
Oh, okay. I just want to prove that It's like none of us really know any. Like, there's so much luck that goes into this, but go ahead.
I would say that most of my picks in that have been bad beats in that other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real tough beats. Charter is 24-33-3. That actually hurts me just to say it.
What's my record again?
30-28-2.
There's still time for me to turn around.
You're pretty much breaking even if you're betting.
I'll take break it even. Speaking of that, you owe me that money, by the way.
All right, here you go.
You stole me money from the time before.
I'm ready. So I got a new strategy this week, right? I got a new strategy.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so here's my first pick. Iowa, Nebraska. Okay.
Yeah.
I got -1. You'll have to correct me on these lines if I'm wrong.
Who's favored?
Iowa's favored by 1.
You like him?
So Iowa is going to be heads on this penny. Nebraska's going to be tails.
You've been a big Iowa fan all year. Why don't you just go ahead and pick Iowa?
Ready? Iowa's heads. That's tails. Give me Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yep. +1.
Interesting.
God, I am such a Nebraska fan this weekend. Go Big Red. Go Big Red.
Man, and I pick Nebraska every week, but I'm not this week, though. I just think Iowa's better than them. But I'm just staying away from it.
I heard you last night on the Fanatics.
Yeah.
Say that if you had a vote, you'd have Iowa third.
I would because if they win out, they're going to be in anyways.
But I'm sorry, dude. They beat Northwestern. That's it.
I agree with
you. How was Michigan State? And I don't think Michigan State's very. I think they've had a lucky horseshoe up there.
Michigan State is not very good.
But dude, they beat Oregon. They've won at Ohio State and at Michigan. How are they not ahead of Iowa?
That's a fair point.
They have three.
It's
a fair point.
They have three wins that are all better than Iowa's.
That's a fair point, Greg.
Let me make all my picks here so then I can go take a leak while you guys make your picks.
Oklahoma State just lost to Baylor. We all agree Baylor's a good team.
All right.
They're still behind Stanford, who's got 2 losses.
Here's my next game. Ohio State, Michigan. It's a pick. Ohio State will be heads. Give me Michigan in that game.
Okay.
Can I make a pick?
No, I'm making all of them, so I can go. I'm about to pee my pants.
Don't be gray. You can hang out until
the
end of the podcast.
I'm about to piss myself. All right.
Just go. You go now. Go take a leak, and then you come back.
Iowa State, West Virginia. Iowa State's heads.
You got to go take a crap.
All right, give me West Virginia.
You have to go poop.
No, dude. I'll be back in a few minutes.
You're going to go poop.
I got 2 more picks left.
You got West Virginia -14. What was Michigan again?
That's a pick.
Pick.
Your Mark's got to go poop.
I'm definitely not going to go poop. It'll be the fastest poop you've ever seen. Notre Dame-Stanford, I like that game. Notre Dame is heads here. That one went on the floor. That one is heads. All right, so I'm going to take Notre Dame.
And the +3?
4.
It's up to 4 now.
Yeah, +4.
Wow.
And then I'll do UCLA-USC because it's here. UCLA is heads. That's
speaking
tails.
Of no respect.
Give me USC -3.5
Charter
points.
Just showing no respect for our picks competition by flipping the coin.
Basically, because now he can go back when he gets his ass kicked and be like, oh, guys, I just remember I did flip the coin.
I don't even care.
All right, you guys talk smack. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right. Charter's going to go see like a dog.
By the way, so Charter always brings like candy in here, you know? This week, he brings in what looked like maybe the most disgusting candy I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I think it looks great.
Candy corn, artificial flavor candy corn, but instead of just the normal, it's fruit creams.
Yeah, it looks good.
That looks awful.
I'm gonna own that.
Oh, God.
Okay, do you want to go with a pick?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'm going to start off. This one's partially with my heart, but I'm a big believer that...
Mark me down, too.
Yeah. They're going to rally around him. I mean, I hope they win, but I just don't see this being more than 2 touchdowns. They're going to play too hard for them.
I want Iowa State. 14, is that what you got it at?
Yeah.
That's what I see it at as well. Yeah, I really like that one, actually. Really, really, really like it. Go ahead. Are you good, or do you?
No,
want me
I got another one. I see this team. I see Baylor a lot. I see them a lot like Ohio State last year.
I have
year.
Baylor too.
Yeah, they're
1.5.
1.5.
TCU. I think that third string quarterback's legit.
I do too. He's like Cardale Jones. Yeah. I mean, that the whole thing, everything about Baylor reminds me of Ohio State last year. And I think if Baylor gets in the Final Four, I think they'd be a hard beat for anybody.
And TCU's not some great home field advantage.
See, I called.
Is Boykin playing?
Yeah, I think he's probable. It doesn't matter.
Well, that does matter.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, Boykin's really good.
He's really good, but you don't.
I'm picking Baylor, but Boykin's legit. Don't just say it doesn't matter.
No, TCU's secondary is so bad that they're going to throw over top of them all game long. They might hang 60 with a third string quarterback.
All right, so I know I need to gain some games on you, so I'm not going to take Baylor. Is that fair?
I mean,
I was going to.
Right, so instead of gaining, you're just going to be losing. Instead of keeping,
it's fine. Okay. But I mean, for the sake of,
so you're not taking Baylor, okay?
No, I was going to, but I'll let you have that
one. Is there, what does Baylor need to happen for them to make the Final Four? They're seventh right now. They basically need Michigan State to lose against Penn State and then Iowa to lose so that no Big Ten
teams. And Notre Dame to lose.
And then could there potentially be two Big 12 teams in?
Yeah. There almost was last year.
Yeah. Except honest to God, in my opinion, I think Baylor still, I look at Baylor as a legitimate top four team.
I agree.
I have to chime back in so people don't think I'm taking a poop.
Yeah.
Continue.
Do you even have time to wipe?
You don't wipe your penis when you pee.
Jesus God. Wow.
I'm just, do you? Do you wipe?
I make sure that no dribble gets on me.
Good God. Good God.
It always goes there. So, C-Dub, so far you have Iowa State plus 14. Who else you got?
Boy. I really liked Baylor. Those were the two that I had done.
Then take them.
All right, give me Baylor.
Yeah.
Because I really like it. I mean, I think that they cover.
That line to me doesn't even make any sense, but.
That's kind of what's scary about it, too, in a weird way. Boy, I think a brutal game to pick would be Texas Tech, Texas. Who the hell do you know is going to go on there?
What is that line?
It's 1.5, Texas.
Okay. I will take Texas Tech plus 1.5.
Yeah, I would lean that way too if I were to bet it, but I'm not going to touch it if you are. Part of me wants to take Georgia Southern just in honor of Willie Fritz.
The reason I take – I mean, Texas Tech's defense is so bad, but can Texas's offense take advantage of it? And at the end of the day, you know Tech's going to put up 35 points.
Yeah.
So I'll take Tech there all day.
I would like to take the under in Michigan, Ohio State.
All right. What is that?
45.
I like unders in rivalry games.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Ohio State's offense has just been, I don't know, but that game scares me either way, though, because how do they respond? Are they, is Ohio State, do they rebound? Are they just shot? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's a very difficult game to read, but I do like the under in that game.
Which that actually brings me to my next pick here. So did you know, and you probably didn't know this, in regular season Big Ten football games, Urban Meyer was 30-0 until he lost to Michigan State last week?
Well, I knew he was like 70-something-4 in his whole career. So
yeah, and he lost once to Michigan State before, but that was in the title game.
Mm.
So I have a hard time believing that they're going to lose two games in a row. I actually thought most of the year Michigan's looked like a better team than Ohio State, honestly, if you just watch them play football. I just think Urban Meyer's too good to lose. So I'll take Ohio State and I'll pick them at Michigan.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
And let's be honest, the
play calling in that game, I know it was bad weather. I know it was raining. That was awful play calling by Ohio State. Just awful. We thought Mark Mangino was bad.
I'm going to try a fruit cream candy corn.
Since C-Dub's still looking, I'll do my last pick.
Yeah, give me a couple minutes here.
I'm gonna go with a Thanksgiving special here for you.
Ooh. Oh.
I'm going to keep riding the hot train. I'm going to go against the undefeated Carolina Panthers. They're going up against the best quarterback in the NFL, Tony Romo, who led the Cowboys to a first victory. Tony Romo on Thanksgiving days has got a quarterback rating of 107. They win that game outright.
I like it.
And why don't you, if you guys want to make some money, just bet on the Cowboys the rest of the year. They're not going to lose a game the rest of the year.
Give this a smell, C-Dub. It's a combo of fruit and wax. It smells pretty good.
It sounds, amazing.
That looks like the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just got an erection.
I love candy, but that candy corn is just brutal.
Have you ever had this kind?
No. It's just wax, isn't it?
It's pink. I'm going to taste it.
Candy corn to me is like eating wax.
It's pretty good. Give it a try.
No, I really want to take Georgia Southern just for Willie Fritz.
All right.
Have a piece. It's a purple one. That's grape.
That's awful candy.
What do you think of that?
I need some drink. Oh my God!
Give me Florida State at -2.
It looks like a bag of unicorn teeth
over Florida.
Is that at Florida?
Yeah.
Help yourself, William.
In the swamp.
That's a good game. I mean, that game. When was the last time that game really seemed like a good game?
I like Florida State by a field goal.
All right.
That's what I'm banking on.
All right. Okay.
I hit on Florida State last week, too. They've been good to me.
If you like candy corn, the fruit cream's pretty good.
Do I have one left?
You got one left. So far, you got Iowa State plus 14, Baylor at 1.5, under for the Michigan OSU game, and then Florida State -2. Charter doesn't even remember his picks because he flipped a coin.
I see him. You wrote him down there on the paper.
They're a good game. These rivalry games are tough. They're tough.
This is one of these times where I'm glad we have nothing decided on what I actually have to do when I lose this year.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm down to for the sake of discussion.
All right.
Thinking about taking Minnesota over Wisconsin, 2.5. just because Wisconsin's not any good.
They're terrible.
I mean, they're really bad.
Their quarterback stinks.
Yeah, he's terrible.
According to Iowa fans, they're fantastic.
No. Most Iowa fans I know, talk to think that, Joel Stavi is the worst quarterback in the Big Ten.
Not when it comes time to them climbing the ladder of the rankings.
You know, I do find that funny about Iowa fans. They knew, they complained about their schedule all offseason, admitted it was awful, mm-hmm. and now they're sitting there trying to say that their schedule's not as bad as people are saying.
Well, if you look at this team, and, you know they did that. And,
yeah. To be fair, I'd probably be doing the same thing, but let's just be honest. Your schedule sucks.
You guys are both Iowa State fans. Will you get on the bandwagon if Iowa makes the playoff? Will you root for them?
Can I say the F word on here? Because
no.
I would like to say no.
You can't say that.
I'll just say hell no.
So no matter what, you can't like get behind the state?
Go Big Red.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm going to take another Big Red, and they were good to me last week. So Indiana, 6.5 at Purdue.
I took them because you said they would win. So thanks for that one.
That was a money line.
Indiana's only 6.5 favorites against Purdue?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Purdue.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be the B.
They should be able to roll. Purdue does play a lot better at home.
Did you parlay my money line last week? My three-team dog parlay?
Uh-uh. Did you hit it?
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
At Arkansas.
That was a great 51-50 game.
Indiana and Northwestern.
Yeah.
Nice. I did bet Northwestern.
Did you do the money line on that, though?
No.
That would have been a big payout on it. I mean, if you could have bet $100 on that, you probably made $2,000.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a huge, huge payoff. No, I did not. I just bet it on the line. But, no, I liked Northwestern very much. They were, 11-point dogs?
I got them
at, dogs,
11
like
and a half.
Crazy. Before I forget, I need to give a shout-out to a friend of the program here because I said I would. Lawrence, you guys know, and his wife, Brandy. She's been on the podcast before. Big fans. Lawrence listens every week right away.
Lawrence, one of my favorite dudes.
I'm giving them a podcast because as soon as Williams posts this, they will be listening to this in the car. They're on their way back from Louisiana. So I told them I'd give them a little special shout out.
Just a family vacation, right?
Little family vacay. Her dad lives down there.
Oh, okay.
I believe. So they're on their way back. So, hey, guys in the car, how you doing? From the boys here at the podcast. Thanks for listening. Great. There's nothing to say.
Nah, where are you guys, doing a great job.
Where are you guys going? For Thanksgiving.
I always go to Ames every year. Long trip, but, you know, that's where the turkey is.
We split it up. So in the morning tomorrow, we'll go over to Julie's mother's where her family will be there. And then afterwards, we're going over to my brother David's for Thanksgiving. So
Thanksgiving, by the way, and I hope you guys have a similar experience for me, is easily one of the laziest days of the year.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We go to Ames fairly early. I grab a Coke. I sit on the couch. I watch the Macy's Day Parade at Kate's parents' house. Then football starts. Shortly thereafter.
Watch that parade.
Yeah, it's just on TV, though. So if you like good lip syncing or actually bad lip syncing, watch that parade.
My wife's family's all into that.
But after that, it's football, separated by a little bit of eating.
Gray's,
back to football.
Gray's,
a little bit.
Gray's in football heaven tomorrow. He's got Cutler and Romo both playing.
Oh, fantastic.
Cutler kind of blew the game last week, though, didn't he?
I actually didn't get to watch it. Did he blow the game?
Yeah. He fumbled or something.
Will Green Bay cover?
He's got a fumble problem.
9 points.
So does Mike Warren and Joe Lanning right now, but that's
the last time.
Cost Paul Rhodes his job.
2 games, Iowa State, Mike Warren, maybe. As good as he is, if he could just shore that up, he'd be
those
great.
Those Ankeny guys at the end of games, Cost Rhodes has got his job.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's
speaking the truth.
That is rough.
I mean, if they win Toledo and if Lanning doesn't fumble, they –
You know,
Rhodes is still here.
You know, we talk about second half adjustments, and there's been a lot of games where you sit and me like, God, what the hell were they doing? I didn't almost feel that way against Kansas State.
I didn't either.
I thought Joel Lanning went from looking phenomenal. I mean, like a stud in the first half. He missed some plays in the second half, and he missed some plays against Okie State in the second half too. So, you know, everyone right now they look at it and they say, hey, we got three good guys to coming back for a coach. We got Lanning, Lazard, and Warren. I like Lanning a lot. I like his potential, but I'm not willing to put him up there with the Lazard and Warren yet right now, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
I got to end on me being negative. Thanks.
Yep.
Gobble, gobble.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe. Later.